Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm John, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. Now I'm serving God full-time in a growing local church as a music pastor. West Coast prepared me both academically and spiritually for a great future in ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
Regardless of where today's program finds you or what burdens you may be carrying, your perspective will change when you deeply consider the immeasurable, bountiful blessings of God in your life. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we consider the blessings of the season. Stay with us. So often, for so many, a season of joy and rejoicing, a season of gratitude, the greatest season of the year for many, is a season of loneliness or a season of discouragement. Wherever today's program comes to you, whatever burdens you might be bearing, there are some blessings that God has given you that when you consider them, the trials, the burdens of this life really do begin to pale in comparison. Welcome to today's edition of Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College, all located in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. And presently, we're studying a series entitled The Blessings of the Season. We're discovering what we really do have in the Lord Jesus Christ to be thankful for. Regardless of the circumstances of our lives, God's blessings ride above all of those things. We're glad you're with us, and we hope today's program will greatly encourage your life. Before we join today's message with Dr. Chappell, I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find many resources on the website for your spiritual growth. And if you'll consider prayerfully partnering with us financially, if you'll send us a gift this month of any amount, we want to send back to you a gift CD entitled A Quiet Christmas with Christ. It's a solo piano CD that will greatly encourage your heart this Christmas season as you celebrate with friends and family. But now let's turn our hearts to the Word of God. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell to introduce today's message.
Today we're going to turn to Luke chapter 1 and learn about the blessing of God in Mary's life, the privilege that she had to bring into this world the very Son of God. Mary rejoiced and praised her God for the wonderful news of Emmanuel, God with us. I hope that news is real to you today, and I hope the news that God became man and dwelt among us will produce a song in your heart throughout this blessed week. May God bless you as you hear the message today about Mary's song.
I heard the story of two boys who were spending the night at their grandmother's house, and they'd been there for several days before Christmas. And as they were getting ready for bed, they knelt down each night, and they did as their parents had trained them. They had their bedtime prayers, and they made their prayers to the Lord. And the younger boy began to pray each night something like this: Dear Lord, I pray for a new bicycle, I pray for Nintendo. And he began to list all the things that he wanted, praying quite loudly. The third night, his older brother leaned over and said, Why are you shouting? God isn't deaf. He said, I know that, but Grandma is. And he was doing his best to make sure she heard what he wanted for Christmas. Well, I thank God that we don't have to shout to the Lord, that He hears our heart and our prayer, and He knows what we're asking from Him. And tonight we see Mary bringing a song to the Lord, letting Him know her heart toward Him as she carried now the Christ child within her own bosom. The Bible says in this passage that Mary had gone to visit Elizabeth. She knew now that she would bring forth Emmanuel. And as she left Nazareth to travel to her cousin's home, she now had come to the full understanding of the will of God for her life. When Mary arrived in Judea, the Bible tells us that Elizabeth greeted her there. And no doubt this was a special time for two young women as they celebrated the fact that they were being used of God to fulfill His will, one to bring in to the world John the Baptist and one to bring into the world the Son of God. They were uniquely blessed of God and chosen of God for this great responsibility. And the Bible tells us as Mary came to this point in her life, verse 40, she entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And the Bible tells us in verse 41, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. I think John the Baptist was getting ready for his ministry, don't you? And even at an early age, in the womb. And by the way, thank God throughout the Christmas story, we're reminded of the fact that life does begin in the womb. And here we see it in two different ladies' lives. But we come to verse 46, and as Mary is now in the presence of her holy and godly cousin, she begins to recite a song of prayer and magnification for the Lord. And it really can be summed up in verse 46 when it says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." She was now to a place of not only acceptance, but a place of jubilance over the fact that God was going to use her to bring His Son into the world. And she says, "My soul doth magnify," which means to extol, to celebrate, to highly esteem the Lord. And she is singing forth the praise of God for the fact that she had been chosen and would be used of God. And tonight, I want you to see in this text three of the reasons that Mary magnified the Lord. And I believe God would have all of us here in this church and throughout these upcoming days to magnify the Lord. And that's the purpose of our existence as a church and as individuals, is that we would honor and magnify Him. And so let's see three of the reasons that Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Notice, first of all, she magnified the Lord because He redeems His people. He's the Redeemer of His people. And the Bible tells us in verse 47, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Now notice specifically, the Bible refers in verse 47 to God my Savior. Here we see the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the deliverer, that He came to bring salvation. And it is Mary's testimony and song that God was Jehovah, Jesus Christ the Savior, and that He was her Redeemer. Isaiah 45 and verse 21 says, "Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from the time, from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." I thank God for the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and for the fact that Jesus Christ is God, and for the fact that He is the Savior of the world. And Mary was just magnifying the Lord, verse 47, because she rejoiced in God, her Savior. She recognized that she was carrying God in the flesh, her Savior, the one Isaiah spoke of who said, "There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior." Hebrews chapter 1 speaks of Jesus in the same way. And the Bible tells us there that Jesus Christ is worshipped as God and referred to as God the Father. And so He's our Redeemer. And we magnify the Lord because He is our Redeemer. We do not magnify the church. We do not magnify people. we magnify the Lord as the Redeemer of our soul. We appreciate our church. We appreciate people. We're thankful and respectful for godly people and for great things that God does. But there is only one that we magnify, extol, or worship. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find no plaster of Paris figurines on the walls of this church. You'll find no embodiment or personage on a cross in this church, because we do not magnify the so-called saints. We magnify the Savior at Lancaster Baptist Church. And that's our joy tonight. And this is what Mary did. She magnified the Lord because He redeems His people. And then she makes it even more personal. She magnified the Lord because of the fact that He regards His people. And I want you to see this in verse 48. The Bible says, "For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Now, Mary says something in the personal sense of God's ministry in her life that we cannot say. And that is that God regarded her for this purpose of carrying and bringing into the world His Son. And He regarded her low estate. He regarded her as being one who was not highly esteemed in the world, but was highly esteemed in heaven. And while only one woman had the great privilege of carrying the Son of God, I want you to pause for just a moment and recognize the fact that God regards those who exalt Him. God knows those who exalt Him. I've been carrying a lot of different memory verses the last few weeks, and there's one that is a blessing to me from Psalm 118. It says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men." Nahum 1:7, "The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him." He knoweth them that trust in Him. He knows those who regard Him. And so someone might say, why was Mary selected? Why was Mary so used? And I believe simply because Mary trusted the Lord, and Mary walked with the Lord, and Mary regarded the Lord, and because of that, the Lord regarded her. Now, God does not have the same mission for any of us and for any of the ladies here in particular in respect to what Mary did. But I say this to you tonight, God is still looking for men and women that He can use. And He's looking for men and women who will carry the good news of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking for men and women who will sing praise to the name of Jesus Christ. He's looking for men and women that He can regard. And Jeremiah tells us that He has a wonderful and expected end for our lives, and that God wants to bless those who are seeking Him and trusting Him. And so I challenge you again this week to regard Him and let Him regard you. And the Bible says here, as Mary thought about this regarding of this low estate of the handmaiden, it says in verse 48, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Now, she does not say from henceforth all generations are going to worship me or pray to me, as some erroneously practice. But she did say that all generations would consider her to be blessed. They would consider her to have been blessed in the sense that she was used of God in such a special, special way. Verse 49, for He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. Let's read that verse together, shall we? Verse 49, for He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. Now listen to that. He that is mighty, that's our Lord, amen? He that is mighty hath done to me great things. How many of you would agree that a virgin birth, a conception of the Holy Spirit of God, is a great thing? He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and notice this, and holy is His name. And I say to you that a woman who can testify to that, He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name, that is a woman that all of us can say she was a blessed woman. She was a woman used of God. And in this day of loose living, and in this day of compromise, and in this day when so many women are following the patterns of the world rather than a close walk with God, I submit to you tonight that every woman and every man here can learn from Mary. And we can learn that all of us should regard Him, our Redeemer, And all of us should recognize that we magnify the Lord because He has redeemed us and He desires to use us for His perfect will. And so Mary magnified the Lord because He redeems His people. And I say all of us should magnify the Lord and praise the Lord that He has redeemed us, He has saved us, He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And while some may boast of their own good works or of their faith, church, whatever, we glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's what Mary was doing. She said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Why? Because He redeems His people. Secondly, because He remembers His people. Now, I don't know about you. I'm thankful that God saved me on April the 5th, 1972. I was born again. But I'm glad that God didn't leave it off there. I've read in the newspapers about mothers who have a child, and thankfully they did not have an abortion, but I have read in newspapers where there have been actual one-day-old babies taken and placed on the doorstep of a hospital or sometimes in a place of business. What a tragedy when that happens. But I'm so thankful that God, after I was born again, didn't leave it off there. I mean, I'm thankful that He has walked with me and guided me and been with me throughout my whole life. And I want you to see what Mary says about that in verse 50. She says, "And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." Now, Mary here speaks about the fact that God remembers His people, and He first remembers us in mercy. The Bible speaks of that in verse 50. His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. And there are many wonderful attributes of God, many great characteristics of God, but one of the greatest to me is His mercy. The fact that He would save us, the fact that He has mercy upon us, is such an overwhelming characteristic of God. I think of Psalm 136, the Bible says there, "His mercy endureth forever." I'm glad that God didn't just have mercy on the pilgrims. I'm glad He didn't just have mercy on John R. Rice and the generation of maybe the early fundamental Bible-believing Christians. I'm thankful that He didn't just have mercy on the previous generations. 26 times there in Psalm 136, we read of the mercy of the Lord. And the fact of His mercy is established throughout the Scripture. And Mary said that she magnified the Lord because He remembered her and He had mercy upon her. And notice not only the fact of this mercy, but the duration of the mercy in verse number 52. The Bible says, rather in verse 50, "And His mercy is on them that fear Him." Notice the next phrase, "from generation to generation." Psalm 103, 17, "The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children." The Lord has mercy upon generation to generation. He remembers us in mercy. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that God doesn't remember us in wrath, though we may deserve judgment. I'm thankful He remembers us in mercy. I'm thankful that He looks for us. I think of perhaps a prodigal child that maybe is away from a family during this holiday season. Maybe there's a mom or dad here tonight who's been praying for such an one. And I really truthfully believe that a Christian parent, right with God, if they had a wayward family member and that wayward family member came home on Christmas morning and they said, "Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, I decided to come home," I truly believe that most right with God Christian parents would say, "Welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. Come on in. We've been praying for you. We are so glad that you're here." How many of you would agree it might be a knucklehead move to say something to them like, "Where have you been? You still owe me money. I can't believe you're here. How dare you come on Christmas morning?" How many of you would say that would be the wrong response, right? The right response would be like the father of the prodigal son who said, "Get the fatted calf and put a ring on his finger and get a coat for him and bring him in." And you see, many times in our Christian lives, we are not as close to the Lord perhaps as we could or should have been. And then we come back to the Lord and we seek His face. And you know, the response of the Lord is always a response of mercy. He's a merciful God from generation to generation. But not only does He remember us in mercy, He remembers us with His might. And I want you to see this in verse 51. It says, "He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." Now, there is a specific reference, I believe, here to Israel. I believe that one of the contexts that we need to have of the first century believers, and especially these very early believers, was the fact that they were living under harsh Roman government. And many of them were looking for a Savior, a Messiah, and many of them were looking for a deliverer from the hardship of Rome. And so there is a reference here to the strength of God to put down the mighty from their seats. No doubt Herod, whether he was in Caesarea or whether in the Roman garrison in Jerusalem, he sat in a mighty seat. Pontius Pilate the same. They were high and mighty in that moment of history. But the Bible says, and Mary magnifies the Lord by saying, He remembers His people and He can take those who persecute His people and He can set them down and He can lift up others, and God is sovereign in the affairs of men. And thank God for that. Thank God that He remembers His people, and Mary was so thankful. And I think of this attribute of God's might and God's ability to give strength. And how many of you believe that He had given it to Mary? Mary was showing forth an inner strength that came from God. And the Bible speaks of that. You might turn there to Isaiah 40 and verse 29. Isaiah 40 and verse 29. Thinking of the strength that God provides, the might that our God has for all of His children. Isaiah 40, 29 says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is the mighty hand of God. This is the power and the strength of God that Mary was singing about and magnifying the Lord for, that He had this kind of power even in her life to put down the mighty and to exalt them of low degree.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily radio program and teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College. If today's message has been an encouragement and a blessing to you, perhaps consider going online. You can download this message in its entirety, this program in its entirety, and also recent series from Daily in the Word through our podcast or through the website when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I also want to encourage you to refer a friend to dailyintheword.org. Let them know about the great Bible teaching and preaching that you're receiving, and they can receive that as well anytime, 24/7 at dailyintheword.org. I want to invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially this month. This is an important time of year to consider how God might allow you to impact others with the gospel of Christ. And a great way to do that is through the ministry of Daily in the Word. Your gift of any amount is so important to helping us continue this radio program on this station and others like it all across the country. And this month, when you will partner with us, we want to send you a gift of appreciation. And it's a Christmas CD, a solo piano CD that will encourage your heart, entitled A Quiet Christmas with Christ. You can partner with us online at dailyintheword.org by clicking on the donate button, or you can call us toll free. The number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. We also love to hear from you by mail. You can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. From all of us here at Daily in the Word and Striving Together Publications, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and the happiest, most blessed, Christ-centered New Year. Before we wrap up today's program, here's Pastor Chappell with a word of greeting.
I want to take this opportunity to wish you and yours a very Merry Christ-centered Christmas. We thank God here at Daily in the Word Radio for His many blessings, but one of the gifts to us is your friendship and your encouragement at this time of year. I trust that as you consider your year-end giving and as you consider the giving of the Christmas season, that you'll remember Daily in the Word Radio. Help us keep this broadcast coming to you year-round. Merry Christmas, and God bless you.
Well, thanks, Pastor, and thank you, friend, for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. I want to remind you, visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a treasury of resources for your spiritual growth, including a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, a link to the Daily in the Word podcast, and lots of other information. Be sure to check out the information on the Alaska cruise. We're headed to Alaska in August of 2011, and we would love to meet you and fellowship with you during that week on this special adventure. Be sure to consider prayerfully partnering with us financially. Your gift to this ministry on a monthly basis would be so appreciated and would go so far in helping us to continue expanding the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ all across the country through this program. You can partner with us online at dailyintheword.org. Our toll-free number, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks so much for letting this program minister to you today. And until next time, have a great day.